Welcome to the Career Changes podcast, where we believe that it is never too late to redefine your path, rewrite your story, and reignite your passion for what you do. Are you ready for a career-changing adventure? Before we dive into these inspiring stories, we need your support. Hit the subscribe button, leave a review, and join our community of dream chasers. And then, be ready to find your inspiration. Hello, and welcome to a new episode of The Career Changes. Our guest today is Benedict James Beaumont, breathwork facilitator and founder of Breathing Space. Today is going to talk about his journey to self-realization, from leaving the classroom with a resignation letter to climbing the Nepal mountains. It was there on Everest Base Camp that he met his wife, Jennifer. Later on, he stumbled on a breathwork session that turned his world upside down. With just a few breaths, he found something he spent years searching for: clarity, connection, and a deep sense of purpose. Today, he's going to share how breathwork can change your life as well. Hi, Benedict. Thank you so much for joining us.
Alisa, thank you so much for inviting me onto your show. And it's really lovely to hear that story reflected back to me. Thank you so much for giving me that introduction and that beautiful, warm welcome.
It's my pleasure. So let's start with your background. How did you start your professional life, or better, what was your first job?
Well, before we do anything, Alisa, is it okay if we just stop and pause and take a couple of breaths? As a breathwork facilitator and teacher, I start almost every interaction and interview I do with that, and it really helps me settle.
That's fine.
For your listeners, if you're listening, if you do this along with us, I'm sure it will help you connect a little bit more to us. Would that be okay if we do this?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, let's go then. Thank you. So my first job. Now, would you like to hear my very first job, or would you like to know the job that I, my first serious job when I really entered the adult world of employment?
The first job you have had.
Okay, well, the very first job I had, I used to be a prescription delivery boy. My mother was a pharmacist, a community pharmacist in Brighton, where I grew up. And my job was to go around on my bicycle to lots of mostly elderly and senior people, delivering all their medications for them, which was fine. But the place that I lived in was really hilly.
Oh, yeah.
And as a sort of 11, 12, 13 year old, I really struggled and I didn't like that job at all. And I was paid, I think, something like £3 a week to go and do the delivery. So I never really enjoyed doing it very much. But that was my very first paid employment when I was about 11 or 12.
And what was your dream job when you were a child?
That's a really interesting question, because I didn't know. In my class, and I'm sure it was the same for you and everyone else, there's always a few irritating kids who knew what they wanted to do, whether it was going to be a policeman or an architect or a vet. And at the time, I used to think, you're crazy. You're a kid. You don't know anything about the world. How do you know what you want to do? But there was part of me that was really jealous. I think that's right, because I could see in them that they had a sense of purpose, that their future was kind of mapped out, and that gave them a great sense of security. I wanted that. I wanted to know what my role in the world would be, and I had no idea. I always had a deep longing to find out the reasons why we are here, the deeper questions, the more internal questions. But I didn't know even the questions to ask or how to go about finding them. So I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I knew always that I wanted to be the best that I could, to reach my potential, to do something great, if you like, because I felt I had greatness within me, even at a young age.
That sounds great. I mean, for someone to have that type of awareness. at a very young age. So what happened after growing up? What was your first serious job, or how did you develop your career for a while?
Well, I didn't know really what I was going to do. So what I chose for my studies was those areas of reflection where I could start to ask them. So I studied economics and politics, the kind of social studies that was available for me when I was sort of 17, 18. And they were asking the wrong questions. I hated them all because they were just too abstract and not relevant. When I got to university, I had a bit more freedom and I discovered a subject called anthropology, social anthropology, which was about the existential questions of what is society, what is culture, what is humankind, what is our place in the universe, how does it all work? And that for me was much more enjoyable, much more fulfilling. And I really started to understand how people and society and culture really genuinely work. Of course, that doesn't lead to any kind of employment. So when I left university, I had nothing to do apart from to be unemployed mostly and do a succession of dead-end jobs. I had other great passions at the time. I was a huge traveler, an adventurer, and I even at an early age, in my 20, 19, 20, 21, I was going off exploring around the world. And when I left university, I went traveling for a long time in Southeast Asia. When I came back broken, penniless, I started a temporary job and I ended up in a company called American Express, which is a big travel banking company in well, in the world, but their European headquarters in Brighton, in my hometown. And I ended up in the IT department. Now, I hadn't touched a computer till I was 21. And this was in the 90s. This was about 1995 when suddenly computers were taking off. And it was a huge growth area. My job was very basic. I was taking little cassette tapes out of servers, out of computers, which was backed up data and putting them in a safe. And it was a really boring job. But I was working in the IT department, and there was lots of other people there who were quite skilled. And there were some people in there who were earning a lot of money. They were independent contractors. Now, I was earning, I don't know, £5 an hour, not very much money. But these guys were earning 15, 20, £30 an hour. And when you're earning sort of 20, £30 an hour, that is around 70, £80,000 a year, maybe even going up to £100,000 a year, which in the 90s, when you're in your 20s, that money is unbelievable. And these independent contractors weren't employed by the company. They had their own limited companies, and they would work 2 or 3 months here, then 2 or 3 months else. And I just thought, oh my goodness, this is amazing. I could have my own company. I could be paid five times as much as I could do anything else. And I have the freedom to walk away whenever I want. Sign me up. So even though with no IT experience, I watched and I learned very closely all those people around me. And within a year, I was at the age of 23, 24, I was an independent IT contractor. My first job, I was earning 15, 20, £20 an hour, which when you're 23, 24 was a lot of money back then. And then by the time I was 26, I was earning £30 an hour. And by the time I was 27, it was £40 an hour, which is an extraordinary amount of money. It was about £120,000 a year, which is too much money to earn at that age. And of course, it all got wasted or got blown away. I'd work for 3 months and have 6 months off. I traveled the world. I spent it on making films, on music, on all sorts of things. By the time I was 30, 31, I was coming to the end of my career in IT. I hated it. I hated it. It wasn't me. The money was, as more people got qualified, as the technology changed and got easy to use, the wages were coming down. There was more people doing it. I had to work harder and harder to upskill myself. I hated it. I was also trying to be a musician at the same time, which was far more interesting and far more fun. And in the end, I burnt out. At the age of 31, I reached the end of my career in IT. I could go no further. And also everything else that I was doing in music and in film, I looked in the mirror and I thought, I don't like this person in front of me. I was very vain. I was very arrogant that I was everything that I was doing was trying to get to money or to be famous or to be cool. And I was like, So I hit a huge wall. I physically, mentally, and emotionally burnt out. I had to leave IT. I went off to the States for 3 months. I came back and I sat down and I thought, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to change my life. So I gave it, and I did it. If you're going to have a breakdown or burnout, my advice is to plan it properly. So I did plan it, and I thought, well, I'm going to give myself 3 months to find out what I really want to do with my life. So what I did in the first of month that I thought, well, I'm not really sure what I want to do, but I know lots of people. I'm going to sit down with every single person who I know and I respect, and I'm going to ask them some simple questions, such as, what do you think I should do with my life? And I must have had about 15 of these conversations, and I got various answers, but there was one theme that came back again and again. You belong in a classroom. You are a natural teacher and communicator. You should be a teacher. And it wasn't something I'd considered. To be honest, when I was in my 20s earning all this money, I thought teaching was well below me. I thought I could do something much greater. But at the same time, I was looking deep inside myself, and I wanted to make a difference in the world. I wanted to leave the world a better place. And along with some internal work, I became a Buddhist, and I did lots of yoga to try and sort out, my attitude and my emotions. I thought, oh, well, I'm going to make a difference in the world. I'm going to be that kind of force of learning and inspiration and good. I'm going to try and become that inspirational teacher that I had when I was young. And so I trained to become a high school teacher. And I did. Anyway, that's a good place to stop, I think, if that feels right for you. So my first 10 years of my working career, I was an IT professional and I hated it. And I did all sorts of things on the side. I traveled. I was a rock musician. I was a film producer. I was a writer. But then after that, had a breakdown and I retrained to become a teacher.
And so, well, before changing career again, how and when did you discover breath work for the first time? Was it that while you were a teacher, or was it that after that?
No, it was after that. During when I was a teacher in my 30s, I was doing a lot of meditation and a lot of yoga. And of course, breathwork forms a part of that. There are breathing techniques in yoga called pranayama techniques. And you may have seen some of them, such as alternate nostril breathing or breath of fire. And in meditation, there's always breathing exercises. But it wasn't until I burnt out from teaching, which happened when I was 39, that I discovered breath work. Because teaching, like any other profession, will take and take and take from you. And although I knew that I was doing a socially responsible job that was making the world a better place, and I know that I was that inspirational teacher for many kids, it was too much. I was working in a broken system. It didn't feel much like I was educating, as I was processing children and preparing them for a very difficult adulthood. So eventually, and I knew that I couldn't carry on. And I actually wrote, as you mentioned, I wrote out my resignation letter, and I carried it around in my jacket pocket for about 6 months because I knew I couldn't, and that was the only way I could carry on. That I knew I had an escape that I could just take it. I could take this letter out whenever it got too much. And that kept me going for another year. And it wasn't until I burnt out from teaching and I finished my school year, and that was it. I sold everything. I had a few thousand pounds of savings, and got rid of everything. I let out my flat and I got lost. I went off to India. I bought a motorbike. I drove around for about 6 months. That's when I met my wife. Climbing up to base camp on Mount Everest. I went on all sorts of adventures. I became a chef in the Alps for a while. I lived in Thailand, in Chiang Mai, where I wrote a novel. We traveled across North America in the back of a car. We did all sorts of adventures because, again, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And I just determined, well, I'm going to have fun until that moment appears. And it did appear. I was 41. I was in Bali in Southeast Asia, and I was invited along to a breathwork session by someone I'd met as a guest. I didn't have to pay. Normally they're about, $20, £20, but he just said, come along as my guest. And I thought I knew what breathwork was. And I was clearly wrong, because when we started doing this breathwork technique, and it was like nothing else I'd experienced, it wasn't just some gentle, relaxing breathing to help settle our emotions. It was completely different. It was like taking a drug, to be honest, because I went very quickly into an altered state of consciousness, and some huge changes have started happening in me. And I had no idea what was happening, that this could be achieved just through breath. And suddenly, everything that I'd done before started to make sense. All the different aspects of what I had studied, what I had worked as, what I wanted to do, suddenly became really clear to me. And the actual session itself, there was about 20 people in the room. And the range of experience was huge, from people who released childhood trauma, from people who had resolved conversations they had with their parents who were no longer with them, to great physical healing. It was, honest to goodness, a miraculous hour that we spent. And I had no idea that this was possible. But for me, my revelation was, this is exactly what I've been looking for. This is exactly what has made sense for me. This is what I want to dedicate my life to bringing this out into the world, because I felt immediately the difference that it made with me. It changed something in me irrevocably. And I promised to the universe that I would do my best to bring this out into the world, to bring breathwork out of the world. Because we all breathe, we all do it every single moment, and none of us have any idea how powerful it actually can be. We take it for granted. And in that moment, I thought I found what I was supposed to do. But weirdly and strangely, everything that I'd done, every single job that I'd had, every role that I'd taken on, prepared me for the journey that I was about to go on. And that was to become a breathwork facilitator, a teacher, and the founder of a breathwork school.
Well, that's a great story. So for our listeners that are really interested in knowing more about breath work, let's go a little bit back to the basics. So what is breath work, and what are the unique benefits that does it offer for personal growth and development?
Absolutely. Well, breathwork is a very wide church, if you like. There are breathwork techniques and exercises that can support you in almost every moment of your life. There are breathwork techniques to help your physical health and well-being. Breathworks to help your fitness and performance. There's so many breathwork techniques to help with emotional regulation. If you're feeling stressed or anxious or overwhelmed, there are easy breathwork techniques to help you there. It's great for creativity. It's great for concentration and focus. It is enormously beneficial for releasing trauma. If you're carrying around bad habits or bad reactions or wounds from childhood, for instance, it's also a very spiritual practice that can help connect to something deeper and wider than you. So, breathwork does all of those things. What I specialize in is the deepest, most powerful form of breathwork, conscious breathwork, which will help you enter a non-ordinary state of consciousness. And in that place, huge transformation can happen. It might be releasing trauma. And for many people, they carry around wounds from childhood, lessons or messages that they got from their parents that they're not good enough, that they're not worthy, that they're not loved, that they'll never be able to do something, that they've been a bad person, they're a bad boy or a bad girl, that they don't belong. And those messages sound simple, but they're so powerful. So many people I know put an armor around their heart and a mask on their face to try and fit in, because they don't feel comfortable or safe to reveal themselves, to actually express how they're feeling. So many people don't even know what they're feeling. They're so unused to feeling some of the more complicated emotions, such as fear or anger or jealousy. We cut ourselves off from our emotions. When we breathe fully, we cannot hide, and we allow everything to just melt away a little bit. And just that by itself can absolutely radically transform people. I've seen people who've been carrying 50 years more of emotional wounds suddenly release something. and it changes them completely. So
Mm-hmm.
that's what I specialize in, holding people in huge transformational, life-changing moments.
So, in your experience, what are some of the most profound or unexpected changes that individuals may experience through regular breathwork practice? You mentioned trauma release or childhood trauma, but are there other aspects that you've seen?
Well, I'll talk from personal experience, if you like, because I think that's a little bit more powerful. I noticed a huge improvement in all of my personal relationships when I suddenly had the courage and the wisdom to step into my own authenticity, my own sovereignty, when I stopped pretending to be someone that I wasn't, when I stopped trying to fit in and do what everyone else expected me to do. When I actually owned who I was and what I wanted to do, and I could then relax. And when I was the person that I wanted to be, actually, I could then be that person for so many others. If we give ourselves permission to be like that, what that happens is it gives permission for other people to do the same, to really become their best version of themselves, to reach their potential. Not necessarily by doing something, but just by being. So all of my relationships improve. You know, my relationship with my wife, with my parents, with my friends. It meant that I lost some friends. I had some people in my life who were toxic, or our relationship wasn't serving either of us. So, you know, there was a time to bring some of those relationships to a close, which wasn't always easy. I'm a parent now. I've got two young daughters, and I know, without any hesitation, I'm a better parent because all the internal work that I have done over the last 10 years. Breathwork has been the key to that. I mean, there's lots of other pathways that you can do to explore, to develop, and to grow. But for me, breathwork is the one that I chose because it's easy and it's simple and it's free. You don't have to know or understand anything. You don't have to chant any strange languages or follow a strange diet. It's simple and it's easy and it's free. So for me, everything changed. Most clearly, obviously, my physical health and well-being. I'm a much physically better person now, but my relationships are all improved without a doubt.
So, are there any specific breathwork techniques or practices that you recommend for cultivating greater self-awareness and emotional resilience?
Yes, so many that I could talk about. But one of the fundamental beliefs that I have is that we are all our own best teachers and healers. Actually, we know ourselves better than anyone else. I genuinely believe that all of us have the answers inside of us if we just have the courage and the space to listen. We don't need to, you know, always go to an expert to tell us what we need to do. Actually, when we're faced with a choice, if we just give ourselves the space to stop and to pause, maybe go inside. Let's do this now. Take your hand, place it on your chest. Just take a few breaths through your nose. And then on an inhale, take your awareness inside. There's a still, quiet place within you. I want you to just breathe there for a minute. Now, if you're facing a challenge at the moment, a choice perhaps, something that you know that you need to do or you're not sure about, what would that be? And what is the answer that you're looking for? Thank you. Thank you for doing that with me, Elisa. Whenever you're faced with a difficult choice, and I don't know if that there was something that came up for you, and we didn't have long to do this. We didn't have an extended time, but that simple practice by using your breath to go inside and to connect with your deepest, truest, wisest, highest self is so powerful.
Yes, it felt that way. So we're coming close to the end of this episode, but we have a few more questions. So first of all, for those who may be new to breathwork, what advice or guidance would you offer to help them get started and stay committed to their practice?
I would recommend, first of all, you spend 3 minutes every morning consciously breathing, concentrating on how you are breathing. Just don't do anything, don't try anything, just be aware of what your breath is doing. Where are you breathing? Is it through your nose or your mouth or through your belly? Are you breathing quick or slow, shallow or deep? Where are you not breathing? And once you start to develop that habit of becoming aware of your breath, well, then you can start to change it. You could do 3 minutes of just gentle inhales and exhales, matching the length of the inhale to the length of that exhale by counting. That's called coherence breath. And that will set you up for an emotionally level day because it drops you into your rest and digest system. And if you're ever stressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, count on the inhale to five. And count on the exhale to five. I would recommend people do the same thing before they go to bed. It will really help you get a good night's sleep. I recommend 30 quick breaths before you do any exercise. I recommend keeping your mouth shut at night so you only breathe through your nose. The health benefits from that alone are huge. I recommend if you are out during the day, check in with how you're breathing. Your mouth is for eating and speaking. You should not be breathing for your mouth unless it's for a specific exercise or purpose. So, just at different times in the day, maybe set an alarm on your watch. Check how you're breathing. If you're breathing through your mouth, close your mouth. There's a few tips for you. I could give you so many more, but is that enough to begin with?
Yeah, definitely. And it's very interesting to explore this topic. So, based on your experience and your journey to self-realization, what type of advice would you give to anyone that is going along a similar journey?
I would like to give you hope. Hope that things can be different. Everyone has challenges and struggles, and for many, many, many people, it can be overwhelming. And it can be feel like you're never going to get there, or you'll keep running around and running around. Change is possible. Breathe into it and feel into it. You're close. You can do it. That's my advice. Don't lose hope. Keep going.
And always based on your experience, what advice would you give specifically to someone that is looking to change their career?
For me, I started thinking about, for many people, there's a fear around changing career. You know, well, what if, you know, what if it all goes wrong? But what the question I started asking myself, well, what if I don't make a choice? What if I don't choose something different? What are the consequences going to be then? And actually, after a while, the weight of not doing anything, of just staying the same, actually, the dangers were far, far bigger. The risks to my health alone were huge, as I could feel my body seizing up and my mental and emotional heart. So I would think, I really encourage everyone to think about the dangers of not making a choice, because they will start to exceed the dangers of doing something different.
And now, really, the last question. If you could give yourself a piece of advice, what would you say to your younger self?
That's a good question. I would encourage myself not to be so serious in my 20s, to have more fun, because everything's going to work out. Everything will be fine, and everything is fine. Go and raise hell. Don't hold back.
Well, thank you, Benedict, for joining us today and sharing your inspirational career change story and wisdom about breathwork with our listeners.
Elisa, thank you so much for inviting me on. And if anyone wants to get, if anyone wants to go on a similar journey with me, if anyone wants to experience the life-changing power of breathwork, we've got a 12-week program called Rewire. It is what changed me and my life during my training. And I'm going to give all of your listeners a special code so they can get a big discount to, if they would like to experience the life-changing power of breathwork as well.
That's great. Well, thank you. And a last message for our listeners. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review and tune in next week for a new inspirational episode of The Career Changes. Thank you.